This nuclear confrontation sounds familiar to Selig Harrison. He's a writer, scholar, and occasional visitor to North Korea. He's been there 7 times. In the summer of 1994, the United States nearly went to war against North Korea, but when Harrison visited Pyongyang, he found Korean officials, including Kim Il-sung, the president of North Korea at the time, who seemed willing to make a deal. That's an impression he passed on to U.S. officials. Selig Harrison joins us now. Mr. Harrison, welcome.
How are you?
North Korea in 1994 agreed to freeze its nuclear program.
That's right.
It got some promises of the U.S.
They thought they were going to get a complete change in the relationship with the United States. What happened, of course, was that as the 6 years passed after 1994, in which they felt that they weren't getting any real change in the relationship with the United States because Bill Clinton couldn't carry out most of that agreement.
What was the United States committed to do in that 1994 agreement that it failed to do?
We were committed to ending all economic sanctions. We were committed under Article 2 to move toward the normalization of relations in every way. We were committed under Article 3 to give them, and this is probably the most important part, a formal pledge not to use or to threaten to use nuclear weapons against North Korea. We just thought that was rhetoric, but to them that was the essence of the agreement, because if they're giving up their nuclear option, in their eyes, they had to get us committed to saying we would not use nuclear weapons against them. Well, we haven't given them. The reason, of course, is that we've always, the American military has always wanted to keep the right of the first use of nuclear weapons in a war against conventional forces, even. And now you've got the Bush Doctrine, which says we have the right to wage preemptive action against any country we think is a potential threat.
Well, now I can understand, I suppose, the military's point of view. They've got 35,000 soldiers in South Korea, just a short distance away from this huge North Korean army, and they want to be able to protect those guys if they're attacked in any way.
Sure, but if we are going to assert the right of preemptive military action or the first use of nuclear weapons, then naturally we are going to have other countries attempting to deter us.
How has the Bush administration affected North Korea with its policies of the last couple of years since it took office?
Well, I think that, they've made a situation which wasn't very good at the end of the Clinton administration much, much worse, because President Bush doesn't seem to recognize the impact of statements that he makes. He told Bob Woodward in the book Bush at War that he loathed Kim Jong-il and would like to topple his regime. And the idea that we want to change the regime, that we might stage a preemptive strike, they take very seriously.
How closely does North Korea watch every word that the President of the United States says, or that op-ed columnists write in the United States, that politicians say, that sort of thing?
They track them very, very carefully. They're very aware of it. Kim Jong-il himself is an internet freak and watches TV all the time. And the issue is really a face-saving way for these two things to happen simultaneously, a joint declaration, essentially the non-use of force by either side, and some initial steps by North Korea that would really roll back what they've been doing. And what those steps should be is what I'm sure Bill Richardson was talking about with them over the last couple of days.
You say a face-saving way to get out of this. I suppose that's from the U.S. point of view as well as the Korean point of view.
Absolutely, because we have said they have to do all these things before we'll even talk to them, without even telling them what we're going to talk about.
Selig Harrison is the author of several books about Asia, including Korean Endgame. Mr. Harrison, thanks very much for taking the time.